How much do you know about your cervix? If not much, don't worry, you're not alone. And in this episode, we're going to demystify this incredible organ and you're going to learn some life-changing information. So what if I told you that this organ can not only be a source of divine orgasms and really deep and beautiful loving connection with a partner or with yourself, but also a place that leads to healing and empowerment? I definitely feel and believe this. And in this episode, I'm beyond excited to share with you the wisdom and inspiration of Olivia, the founder of Self-Cervix. And Self-Cervix is the world's renowned cervical awakening project that has been driving forward the revolutionary research and the work helping women to reconnect to this mysterious and deeply powerful orgasmic and healing place right inside of their own bodies. I highly recommend listening to this episode because it contains essential and really empowering information that is difficult to find out there. And I personally have completely changed the relationship with my body when I discovered this place. And there is no better person than Olivia to share about this work, as she has been helping thousands of women all over the world to connect to this place and empower themselves.
For us women, it is possible to have it all and embody our truth and power in all areas of life. Feminine Power Podcast is your guide to reconnecting with your feminine essence, reclaiming your power, and rising into your fullest potential. I'm your host, Maria Grinina, co-founder of Feel, the feminine embodiment platform. And here on this podcast, I interview our expert community and our members, and we together share transformative tools, intimate conversations, and embodiment practices, bringing you a wealth of wisdom and practical tools to support your journey. Follow this podcast for your weekly inspiration. And if you'd like to go deeper into your embodiment journey and the awakening of your sexual energy, check out our online membership linked in this podcast description.
I'm trained in tantric sexuality. So I've done a lot of hours of learning about my body, about the energy, and a lot of that work. And before that, I'm trained as an embodiment teacher. So I am a very aware and connected woman, and I started my yogic path when I was 12 years old, and I had a history of sexual trauma, so I was aware of like how to go there on my healing path. But I have touched my cervix for the first time this year.
Isn't that interesting though? You know, like we can go through this entire embodiment journey, and I realized this about, I don't know, 20 years ago, I was feeling this, like, I'm so embodied. I've done all of this work, and yet there's this place where I haven't gone, and no one's really told me to go there.
Yeah.
It just doesn't seem like a thing. And then, you know, on the other hand, you might have heard all of this stuff like cervical orgasms, maybe, maybe not. And it's kind of like this last place that gets visited.
It is crazy. And to make it even more, I mean, dramatic or whatever it is, when I touched it for the first time, it was during my course, during my studies. We've been practicing self-pleasure. And the teacher asked to gently meet the cervix. And I met my cervix. And I had like a wave of fear going through my entire body. I was like, and it was so tight and it was so scary. It was far from pleasurable for the first time, but it definitely showed to me that there is something there that I haven't ever went into, and it's something deeply, deeply powerful. So I went on this whole journey of trying to figure it out, and I am still figuring it out. But now I'm seeing through, like, whoa, what is this? More from a very amazing and curious perspective. So I'm excited to tell women all about this incredibly magical place from you, an expert.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for bringing this conversation forward. Because like we discussed earlier, so many women don't even know they have a cervix. Like it's It's quite profound. I did this whole interview series when I first began this work on the streets of Berlin and London and New York. And I was asking women, what do you know about your cervix? And the responses were anything from my what? All the way through to, oh, you know, I think, you know, it's where you give birth from, or my doctor touches it. I go for a smear test, or cancer. Like, you know, it would be very medicalized and sort of this hidden, either inconsequential, like, so what? Or this kind of, why are you talking about something so personal? My friend just has cancer. It's just that the magic wasn't there. The understanding that it's more than just an amazing birthing canal, which is powerful enough in itself. It is this incredible portal to expand its states of, I can say orgasm, but the more I talk about this, the more that word doesn't really work. Because what I found was, I remember when I started, I thought it would be like other experiences of orgasm that I'd had. Just to share with your audience, I was never very orgasmic. I was pretty stuck. I wasn't one of these women who came in and I was already like fully alive, fully awake, fully open. I was really wanting and yearning that. And I even was like, from about 25, helping women get through some of the things that I'd gotten through, which was mainly just shame and like starting to even be able to speak about it. So by the time I got close to this path that kind of found me, I was very dependent on a large vibrator that was my only access to sex. And I don't ever shame vibration as a tool for learning how these sensations can feel if someone is very blocked in their body. And I also recognized that I was so used to this very intense stimulation externally that I really had no concept or feeling or connection or relationship to the deeper places inside of me. They just didn't factor in much of my self-pleasure process. When I had sex, you know, obviously I would feel a little more inside there, but I didn't really know how numb I was on the inside until I started exploring this. And to what you said earlier, right, I've touched my cervix and I'm still trying to figure it out. I spent years trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
Because the sensations, because A, I was numb, I've had a big chunk of my cervix cut out.
Yeah.
And I was also looking for more of a clitoral orgasm experience. I didn't really understand how to work with my body in a different way to create this expansion feeling that cervical orgasm was to become for me. So it took me a while to figure it out. For me, it was part of the journey, because the cervix will show you this mirror. Like even with you, you said, oh, this wave of fear came up.
Yeah.
And so look, you're like, wow, what is there for me to be afraid of? This place inside of me, inside of my sovereign space, I'm afraid. What is here? And you know, all sorts of things will come up for people just beginning, like fear, shame, even feelings of repulsion if they haven't been inside and they feel sensations on their fingers that they might not have felt before, a lot of avoidance, a lot of resistance because there's some intuition that inside there is things that I haven't yet felt that I've held there. I just did a session the other day with a woman and she was like, I haven't really done any practice. And I was like, well, why? What do you think's there? And broke it down to, I am afraid that if I express what I'm feeling right now in my heart, that all this rage, I'm going to create disconnection. And see, the heart and what you're holding here, it's going to be blocking. You got to address here first your heart before being ready, available to go into a more vulnerable space inside at your cervix. Because you know somewhere inside, we know, like, I have all of this power, rage that will like spill out of me and I'll break my relationships and then I'll be alone and no one will love me and then I'm the witch and then I'm like, you know, all of it comes out. So
100%. It goes so deep and the layers I've been uncovering in myself are surprising and powerful and sometimes scary. And to my partner, they all can be also sometimes scary. I definitely want to dig into the partner play as well with you. And I know you have this course for men. I was so cheeky that I made my boyfriend watch, but then I kind of watched with him.
Yeah.
But let's start first on this more of a medical perspective, because you've just said that your cervix has been also partly cut out. Could you elaborate on it? What does that mean?
I was growing up in the days of like kind of an HPV. There was a lot of it going around, and that just they would describe it as the common cold of sexually transmitted viruses. And like at that point, most people were kind of getting it. It was just so easy to contract. You just had to have unprotected sex once with the wrong person. And there's usually no symptoms. So you don't even know you have it. And that's why people are able to pass it around. Then I went to the doctors and the doctors took a biopsy and they were like, you have abnormal cells and you have a SYN3, which means that, you know, it can very easily change into cancer. And they said the C word and I went, and they were like, we think you should get these cells taken out. And so within a very short time of having that diagnosis, I was in having this terribly barbaric medical procedure. I had to be held down. You know, it's brutal. And at that stage, I was 28. I didn't really understand anything about, I was just following what the doctor told me to do. And, you know, I have a very different perspective on it now. But I realized that what is the good thing about this is that now I can say it's possible to go through an experience like that and still take back medicine of the cervix. It took a while and probably I was living with a lot of numbness for a very long time. And even still, it will take sometimes, depending on where I'm at in my life, if I'm really stressed, if I'm, you know, holding a lot of tension, it will take me a while to bring my cervix back online again. It's an interesting organ. It feels like it has its own communication going on, you know? Like, you know, I always try to share that just because you've started to feel sensations now at your cervix, that's amazing. So you know there's an access point. You kind of know that you can get there. It's just going to sometimes not be so linear. You'll think, oh, I've had a breakthrough. And then, you know, you might end up going through a terrible experience in your emotional life or stressed out at work or whatever it is. And then you don't really pay much attention to your cervix for a while. And then you got to go and do some work on it again and bring it back and work on your heart and go through the process. So, yeah, I suppose I can say that you can go through medical trauma and reclaim it. I think there's some stat, like 15% of people who go through that procedure lose all sensation, even to the clitoris, and it's they have experienced PTSD after it. So it's a very sort of shoot from the hip system where it's like, oh, we see this thing, you better hurry up and do it. And I always leave this choice to women to make a personal choice. I don't give medical advice. For me personally now, I know that disease takes a long time to shift, change in your body. And there is time to look out for natural remedies and lower your stress levels and try for a period of time to heal naturally. And I know many, many people who have, but I obviously can't take that responsibility for people. That has to be a deeply personal choice because it's very scary when the doctor says it might turn into cancer. It's like, whoa, what? So, you know.
Something not as strong, but something similar happened to me. And I'm glad that you say that it's all possible to resynthesize even after more significant traumas like that. But in my
I don't even have exact names because it's all in another language. But I was growing up in Kazakhstan, and it's a post-Soviet Union environment. And in Soviet Union, it was a very popular procedure to get rid of erosion on the cervix, because they also believed that that might lead to cancer. So my mom, being a doctor, and she was checking me regularly to avoid any kind of problem. And we found erosion on my cervix. I was maybe like 19, something like that. And so obviously I had no idea what it is, why, what. And they had to like electroecoagulate it, or something like that, if I'm saying the word right. But actually, basically, it's extremely painful. Somebody goes and electroshocks your cervix. And I mean, I just had no idea what did they do to me. Just now, looking back, I'm like, what was that? And the worst thing is that 2 years later, my mom is always up for research. And there is new research that came out that erosion is actually normal, and it comes and goes, and you don't have to do that.
And I'm like, isn't that crazy? I think I would say that the cervix is the most traumatized place in the human body. I can't think of anywhere else that has to go through all of these tests. And if there's like the slightest thing, it's like cut it out, laser it, electric shock it. Doesn't that remind you of like, it's symbolically witch energy at the cervix? Yeah. It's like witch goddess. Like it is so powerful that this happens to it. It makes so much sense to me, you know, like it's in the name of like safety and health, like your mom. But because there's so little education and so little research around the female body, female sexual anatomy, female potential, that there's this kind of free-for-all, oh, let's just do this thing. And even doctors will tell you, if you go to your doctor, they'll say, oh, it's fine to do this process. Your cervix is meant to be numb.
Yeah.
That is a very common experience, but it's not a normal experience. Your cervix has three sets of paired nerves attached to it, and it's innervated on the surface. It is highly innervated. Biggest connection to the brain out of all of your organs, the science was, I was like, I found that hard to believe, but that seems to be the truth. Three sets of paired nerves, which means one on each side going all the way up to the brains. That makes sense. It's part of our reproductive function. It's part of our human survival mechanism. So it would make sense that it needs to be sensitive. And so anything that is going on at the cervix transmits through these nerves to the rest of the body and the brain. So if you're experiencing trauma at your cervix or pain at your cervix, which so often happens during sex, you get a shock into your system. Your system freezes, closes, shuts down, tightens, armors. And then you might enter sexual experiences being a little hesitant, like a little trepid, oh, I don't want to feel sex or pain. Or you might just go along with it with a little bit of pain because it'll pass soon. Instead of being really honest and brave and being like, I need you to stop right now. I just need to pause for a moment. Just, I need to breathe and relax. I'm feeling some pain.
Yeah. Well, I feel like this relationship with the cervix open up so many gates into self-inquiry.
Yep. Yeah.
Ability to be vulnerable.
That's why my program's called Self-Cervix. And the funniest, I didn't even know when I called it Self-Cervix. I was thinking about, you know, really just serving ourselves with this process. But I realized as I started diving deeper that you can't look at the cervix. Honestly, you're going to look at yourself. A lot of people will come into my work and they're like, just tell me how to have a cervical orgasm. I'm like, sure. But it's not that simple, because you're going to wonder why you keep meeting resistance. You wonder why it's not happening and here, because you've got to look at your heart, or you've got to look at your behaviors, or you've got to look at the way you've crossed your boundaries again and again, or you've allowed touch that really, you know, it's okay, but it's not really what you want, because you just want your lover to know what to do. So you've deferred your power to them. And instead of really claiming and knowing the keys to your body, and I think when you speak about, I'm still figuring it out, now you're learning how to play the instrument of your cervix. tricks, and you're learning how your nervous system joins into this chorus as a chorus for your cervix. And what's so beautiful is it's like all these parts of your anatomy, your clitoris, your breasts, your internal environment, all the way up to your cervix, they all play different kind of notes and frequencies. And when you get this, my goodness, the way you can play your body is like, And so why wouldn't you want to share with your lover in a really gentle, playful way? This is how you do it, baby, you know? The female body is so wonderful with all our different erogenous zones and all our different pleasure buttons. And you come up against a different body and you're just like, well, I wonder how this one works. And it's not one size fits all. So I provide a map and there are some universal truths within it, but I can never know your particular body and the music that your instrument plays. And so my job really only is to get you learning how to feel and learning how to listen. That's really what I try to do more than tell you how to touch your cervix. And it's hard because I do get this a lot. What kind of touches should I do? And I used to just be very stubborn and say, well, you tell me, you go and find out. And I probably annoyed people. So I was saying, well, you could try these things, but none of those things might be right for you.
If you are resonating with this episode and you are ready to take your embodiment journey to the next level, I invite you to join the Feel membership, your guide on a journey of reconnecting with and embodying the power of your feminine energy. As a member, you'll get access to the daily embodiment practices created by our powerful experts and become a part of our community. Knowledge that you receive on this podcast is gold, but the real change happens when you integrate these learnings into your life. With our online membership, you can cultivate a consistent self-love and embodiment practice to nurture your energy. Our members are experiencing profound shifts from healing past traumas to reigniting their sensual fire to manifesting their wildest dreams. And we want that for you too. So if you are feeling the call to go deeper, check this podcast description for the link to join our membership.
So let's actually then go into this touch and the pleasure and the orgasms. Everybody, I mean, there is this whole, either it's even almost a myth of a cervical or full body orgasm. People don't know if it's true, if it exists or no, and how to get there. I can just share a little bit of my exploration I've had this year. And I must say that when I want to explore my cervix and want to connect to it now, for me, it is more of a release journey. So I feel like there is so much yet to release, a lot and the layers of it. So most of my practice involves very gentle and soft release through which I breathe for a long time and I apply touch differently and I don't push like I would have sex. There is no like continuous push for me onto the cervix. There is a very soft push and then I hold it a bit and then I would change the position. And it all looks more like a gentle release practice. However, I have introduced my partner into this and I've asked him to hold me through it a couple of times. And I get more pleasure with a partner when I touch my cervix with his actual penis somehow, because I'm feeling there is certain level of energy exchange when the partner is really, really present and when he's consciously and intentionally works with the cervix. When he's not intentionally there, it's not the same. But when there is a pure intention to soften my cervix, I find it deeply, deeply pleasurable. But yeah, I feel also there is a lot to move through yet. And I have cried multiple times if we achieve a level of release. Once I got into a more like a panic or something, but I was crying really, really a lot, and it really scared my partner. So I did calm him down. I did explain it actually was really good for me. I felt like I released something from past generations. It was so intense. But basically, the experiences are really diverse, and I can't imagine what else is there. So I would love you to share, yeah, from years of your experience.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to speak to what you said. Like, wow, your partner, so brave. How beautiful. Imagine, again, like you're touching your woman and she has this, like, huge, response. And it's like, you know, I will always say, and with the man in this program, I'm always sort of saying, you know, training them in holding this space. But also I speak to the women about sort of saying even beforehand, like, you know, we don't know what might come up. Yeah. And if something comes up, like big feelings, all you need to do is trust me and I will let you know if I need you to bring me back. But let me cry it out. And then after a while, you know, perhaps you can put a hand on my shoulder and just ask me how I'm doing. Because sometimes it can be scary. In a re-traumatizing situation, you could just fly out into disassociation and actually have a re-traumatizing experience. So it's a very interesting line for a partner to witness, to kind of understand, are they just having a cathartic release or have they kind of really gone? And so I think it's really great to have like little ways that your partner can check in with you that doesn't interrupt your process. And I think over time, he will grow in his capacity to be able to trust you in this and trust that, you know, he's got this. How blooming exciting. That makes me so excited.
Excited too. So, I mean, like, people need to know.
Yeah. Well, it's great for me to hear that you're letting stuff go. And you're right. Like, the majority of my journey, I think I did 4 years of releasing, four years of unwinding. Learning how to feel, learning how to sensitize, learning how to attune my senses to extremely subtle things, and then ultimately learning how to transmute it all into an orgasmic experience. As I said, we don't really know what might come up. I've had experiences also that have felt really intergenerational, very big pieces. But interestingly, after that big release, it was never ever quite the same. I never really had big release again after that. I think the thing that's the most uneasy to be with for people is not feeling much at all. And it's very hard to be patient and to just be with the void and just holding the void of nothingness. And like, I train women to create inside of the void, to sort of give their mind something to do, to meditate inside the void. Feeling pain, feeling grief, feeling rage, at least you're feeling something. You know, this is why I actually started, this is how self-cervix started, because I was touching my cervix and not feeling anything at all, really. And I just got bored. And I didn't really understand that, you know, I was being shown a real mirror actually at that point. But I started this kind of event online and just asked for anybody else who wanted, do we want to support each other stimulating our cervixes for 21 days? And it was a massive event with over 1,000 women. And what came up there was everything from all of their trauma and past life regressions all the way through to like, I feel so empowered because the first time in my life I've touched my cervix. How come I've never been taught this? This is amazing. I'm reclaiming a part of myself, all the way through to more experienced practitioners or some lucky beings who just don't have much to let go of at the cervix and they're already able to kind of launch into feeling really pleasant, if not pleasurable experiences. There's a full spectrum that can be possible. I can't say what will be there for each person, but what I can say is that it's nonlinear. We have to keep going back. I don't not do release practice now that I'm able to have these cervical orgasms. It's my cervix yoga, as well as you could say it. Like right now, for example, I can feel that I need to do a release practice right now. I've been rushing at the end of the year to get everything done. I've not really been in much contact with my cervix. I've been up on my head a lot. And it's like, oh, I just crave this. It's like a homecoming. It's like, you could say that it's the first chakra. And from a more Western point of view, that does make sense to me, because we had all this research done at the very beginning of my work, and it showed that women were, when they were touching their cervix regularly, anxiety was dropping, starting to feel less depressed. They were feeling more grounded in their bodies. Mm. So let's say it's your anchor point. I call it your root.
Yeah.
And so it pulls you back and down and in and out of your head, and it pulls you into your deep body. And that's the only place, when you're in your deep body, very present, that is the only place from which a cervical orgasm of any kind will start to open up. And what gets in the way, who knows whether it's trauma related or just our own fixation on dopamine and instant gratification and self-judgment and kind of wanting something and being impatient. But whatever it is that pulls us away from staying with ourselves deeply in the deepest parts, anything that pulls you away from your from the moment, from feeling very subtle things, that is that it unfortunately gets in the way of us being able to expand. And those of your audience who do meditate, that is also helpful when you're also embodied, because it is a meditation. I love it when my partner says, I'm on your cervix. And then, you know, I'm just like, somehow mentally I'm visualizing that connection, and I'm visualizing my cervix, and it just really kind of starts to open up and in me. So yeah,
I visualize when, I mean, it really comes to me, this picture more and more, the more I do this work, of like cervix being this place in the body through which, once we press on it, especially with something really beautiful, like your lover's penis, of a really beautiful connection, or something sacred like wand that we really love, as if press, then a powerful energy, as it breaks any kind of blocks through my entire body, because we press there, it's like a wand of energy coming through the entire body and then breaks everything, gets all the rubbish out, and I become clear.
Yeah, absolutely. It makes sense that you are feeling more when your partner is making love to you, you know, for so many reasons. And yes, energetics is one major part of it. Also, you've got more of a fullness over the entire cervix. Also, it's not you doing it, so you can relax back and feel more. So there are benefits to it. But for those of you in your audience who are single, I did the majority of this work as a single woman, and I think that was no accident. I'm now partnered in the perfect time. I feel like I've pretty much completed the body of work to where I need it to be. And so, you know, there's a benefit to both.
Yeah.
You don't have to be in a partnership to really explore your cervix. And when you are, it's an amazing, you know, journey that you can go on together. One day, eventually, after the men's program, I would like to do a couples program.
Oh, yeah. That sounds amazing. Now, I must say, a lot of this, at least for me, as I'm working with the cervix, for me, self-practice, solo practice is incredibly important. I don't feel like I would be even able to go there with a partner if I didn't do solo practice.
Yeah.
Because I need to know, like, I need to meet my feelings in this way. And I would love you to share a bit more on how does self-de-armoring actually work.
So let's say that, and I mentioned before, you know, there are things that have happened to us and our cervixes that cause us to hold the body in response to a shock, or just the busyness of life and stress. You know, I even notice myself when I'm driving and I'm stuck in traffic and I'm running late and I'm pulling up my pelvic floor, I'm holding tension. All of this creates a protection, you know. So let's say a place has been regularly sort of hit during sex. But first of all, it might feel painful. And then if you kind of just ignore it and you keep going, eventually it will numb out and it forms a, I guess you could say, a thick layer of skin, a muscle over that part that's hurt. You know, when you're touching your shoulders and neck, and you feel these bumps and lumps, you know, that's, you could say, is armoring. It's a shell protecting the vulnerable parts of us that have been hurt or strained or stressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so with the de-armoring process, which I do throughout the entire center of the body, running all the way up the pathway of the vagus nerve that runs all the way up to the brain, the back of the brain, I work on releasing those places that are holding, and we call this de-armoring or release. It's release work. It can look like trigger pointing. It can look like practices like tremoring. It can look like breath work. There are many ways that we can create a release through the central channel, but vaginally and cervix, where it, you know, it can look like working with a finger and finding places that feel like acidic or tense or numb and giving them some loving attention, giving them some kind of holding.
Yeah.
I use a wand. I created a wand, actually, that could get into deep places that my finger can't go. You know, it's not that comfortable to spend a long time, you know, with your finger. But I always say starting with a finger is a good idea because, you know, it really keeps you connected to the exact place where your finger is. Sometimes the wand, it's a little bit of a barrier between being very aware of where, of the sensation of things. So, mm-hmm. For example, you know, if you're not really used to what your cervix feels like through your own practice, your finger, then you go to touch it with a wand and you're like, where is it? I can't quite feel it because maybe my cervix is numb. So it's good to have the education of your finger, but I found like the wand work was essential for me to just open more space because I was holding a lot of like tension. I don't do jade egg practice, for example, because I don't need that directional of energy. I don't need to lift my pelvic floor, and most of our pelvic floors are actually in a state of constant lift. And so my work is like, whew, like, let it go, get here. And the de-armoring practice helps to just bring you down into the body.
I believe you have a really good video on your Instagram that gives a bit of an introduction. So that's really cool. So listeners can watch and see the wand and a little bit of your intro.
It's a wand mastery class. So they can see how it works. It's amazing because it also, you know, you can touch into so many parts of your anatomy at once, and it's also can offer pleasure. So, you know, it's your adventure, really.
Yeah. It is an adventure worth taking for sure for everyone. So I'm wondering then, you also have a men's course, which I adore. When I saw you launching this course for men, I'm like, yes, more men will know about it, which is better for the world. How do we introduce men into this work? Generally, say, women who are curious about their cervix and they have partners, what should they do?
Well, I guess, first of all, like we've said, just start to get into a little relationship with it yourself. So whether that's with your own touch or whether it's with like holding presence and imagining your cervix and really starting to get a sense of where your cervix might be at, like what has your cervix been through? Does your cervix have anything that it wants to share with you if you were to touch into it? What has the journey between you and your cervix been like in your life? You know, and then you might start to remember stories or things that have happened, and then you might just simply go to your partner and say, hey, you know, there's this place inside of me that I've begun to really get curious about. It's my cervix. It can offer a really deeper experience of sex. You know, I'm just learning about it. Would you be open to learning about it with me?
Mm-hmm.
Shall we explore touching it together and I'll give you some guidance? That's why it's really important for you to have been there yourself. And so it would just be, for me, a simple conversation, like why and what and where. Invite a kind of a play with it. Doesn't have to be so serious. Just get curious and play. And then you can ask him, can you feel it when you're inside of me? Like when we're making love, can you feel it? What does it feel like? You know, can you let me know when you think you're on it? And it can be like a curious, playful dance. And that's how I would bring this to my lover. Probably I would steer away from hugely significant, scary conversations of like, all of this trauma might come up inside of me. Don't go there. I say be light about it. But that's my way. So it might not be your way, but it's like start with a conversation, start with why, and then slowly start exploring what feels good while you're making love. Now, it's tricky with the men stuff, and this is why I'm running an entire program around it, because for you and him to get the most out of it, okay, he needs to be able to hold himself, which you've already sort of discovered. He needs to be able to really know his center and really understand his little boy wounds that might come up in response to his woman in her absolute wild witch goddess.
Yeah.
So we're going next level now. So this is after, like, let's just say you're just having a light little cruisy play, you know, and it's like nothing too significant. In an ideal, your man is like, he doesn't need validation from you with touch anymore. Like, you know, he's open for you to tell him how you like to be touched. And then his journey is about getting super sensitive and doing his own de-armoring work and doing his own release work, and even anally. And that can be a real edge for men.
Yeah.
So that's an option. But, you know, the guy who is one of the guys who's teaching in the men's program, he's a huge believer in men learning how to receive.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too. I think it will help them be better lovers. Huh? They will understand what it's like.
That's right. And then the next part is learning how to touch your cervix. And then we move into making love. But the interesting thing about touching the cervix is, oh, this is going to go into a big wormhole. And I don't know. I think, there are three main ways that I encourage partners to practice. And one is you allow him to explore with your permission to the limits that you feel comfortable with. Mm-hmm. You just allow him to have an experience of feeling himself.
Yeah.
And that's why his sensitizing work is so important. Mm-hmm. And so it's within your kind of consent, I suppose, that he is allowed to just like explore and feel for himself. And it doesn't just completely go off in his own world. He's like present with you and like, oh, this is what I can feel here. What do you feel? And so he's having his session. And then it's more of a collaboration where you're guiding him and he's exploring. And then the final one is he only is in service of you and is only listening, and you're 100% guiding the experience. So we train in going far out into some of these dynamics, and then you can let it all go, and then at least you're both empowered in your own ways. And then lovemaking, and it's just learning some of the energetics of the work. So it goes really deep into energetics, but the energetics, it's advanced practice, because before you get to the energetics, you've got to be down in the body, which is what we've said earlier. And so I never really speak much on the energetics because it can be very abstract.
Yeah.
But I remember listening to conversations like that, you know, while I was still using my foot-long vibrator, being like, that just feels completely impossible and like a myth, right? Mm. And this is why it becomes like, oh, well, is that even possible? Because, you know, you might have heard teachers speaking in these very abstract ways about the energy and about, you know, it just seemed like magic. Like it seemed like something that was so far out of what was possible for me. Because I was still very much, I was not even really properly in my body. I was not even really properly in the 3D, let alone in the 5D. You know, I was like not even fully able to feel myself physically.
Mm.
And so there's a long journey for us, humanity, to be able to feel ourselves.
Yeah.
This is why we're going to wars and why we're hurting the earth, is because we can't feel ourselves. We're so disconnected from our own bodies and our own feelings. And so we don't want to go touch the cervix because we know that inside maybe we're going to have to feel all these things that we've avoided.
Yeah. I feel like it is right to, you know, not allowing people to get to the energetics after they get into the body in terms of just by themselves. I feel like it's a natural progression for people. Once they get into the body, then energetics and all of that just becomes a natural new exploration that comes as a result of embodiment. And yes, then you don't want anything superficial, or you don't want war, you don't want to inflict pain to anything. It's a very natural state to be in.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you get that sensitive, you know, it's a very interesting process for me. I never thought you'd get me out of a city. I was such a city girl.
Oh, same.
Well, either it's because I've gotten older or I've just gotten so sensitive. Now I'm like, I crave being in like quiet, like open plains, and like, because I'm so attuned to sensation, all the sensation of nature is so beautiful. And it's a lot, it's enough. And then I go into a city, I'm like, holy moly. And like, we have to armor up a bit, you know, we have to just armor to resist in a city. And, you know, I still haven't let go of my city life. I still can't do it, but I now have bought myself a van so that I can do my hashtag van life and go off and like be in the countryside when I need to. But yeah, it seems to become like this increasing sensitivity.
I relate 100%. I'm still in my London life, but I am going to move to country next year, which is so
exciting.
And I can't believe it. Like, I've been a city girl, London girl, you know, and now I can't wait to just wake up. And I did that for the past year. I've actually lived part-time in countryside. I can't wait to again wake up and just be in the forest.
Oh, yes. Wow. Okay. So it's not just me. Good.
If everybody was exploring their cervix, and if all those who don't have one would still be aware of it and connect to it in any shape or form, we probably would be a better society. You know, this is the answer.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, when men start realizing how making love with a cervix that's online when they're online can completely transform them, you know, imagine how men would treat women differently, knowing this power inside of us and also how it benefits them, rather than shutting it down or ignoring it or staying addicted to porn. I allow that part of me to come online as well. And we just are very clear that we have a whole range of ways that we can make love. And we also know, because we've crossed our limits with making love like animals.
Yeah.
We can go back to having a much more conscious and ultimately more rewarding way of making love that I think is very sustainable for long-term couples.
Yeah.
And it's very sustainable for just our own desire to have sex, because there's so much more in it for us once we have our cervix online and once we're able to feel so deeply.
Yeah.
And I think some of the myths around, you know, is internal orgasm even possible, is because still the majority of people making love won't have an orgasmic experience.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm having sex like an animal, I'm not really having an orgasmic experience. Very pleasurable, but it's not very orgasmic, you know. It's orgasmic for him.
Yeah.
And that's the whole thing. That's the whole feminist kind of perspective. Mm. It's like, oh, well, you know, sex is great for him. He gets to ejaculate.
Mm.
And so this model of sex, which is really cervix aligned, opens up far more orgasmic experiences for us too. I think it's actually ultimately more sustainable for a couple and for us women. Because I know that there's no pressure. We don't have to go anywhere. It doesn't have to become anything. It's just us meeting the moment with each other and slowly opening and expanding together.
Cervix-centered lovemaking. I love that. Even as a term and as an explanation. Like, sounds so good.
Yeah. It's just allows us to have such a deep experience. More of the dimensions of our pelvis are opened up. And that's because you've been doing your own de-armoring work and your own presencing work. So, you know, one of the hardest things for me to share with women is like, you know, resistance will come up. Have a break of the journey for a second. Come back when you're ready. It can be a lifelong exploration, but it's not going to be a quick one necessarily. So yeah, be patient. Just be patient. You know, there's no hurry.
Oh, thank you. I would love to finalize our podcast here. However, are there any programs that are upcoming that you would like to share with our audience?
Yes. So we actually will be opening up for the men again in January because we're doing the two modules on touch. That's going to be an opportunity for men to rejoin. For women, I'm going to do a 21-day journey, very accessible, called Encounters. Just starting with really simple ways of exploring and experiencing your cervix, not even with your finger. So it's really accessible to anyone, even if you've got some fear. And that's all I can see right now.
Oh, cool. That's amazing. That's already really, really good. And I really hope more men will be joining these programs.
Yeah.
It's just, for me, I feel like this is an essential education that they shall have. Oh, and 21 days sounds good. It's like, yes. Yeah, it's a perfect entry point, as you're saying. It's amazing.
Yes, that's the intention.
Amazing. Thank you so much for this podcast. It will be incredible.
And that's it for today. I hope this episode has left you feeling inspired, empowered, and more connected to your truth. If you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to the Feminine Power Podcast and leave us a rating. If you want me to ask any specific questions to our future guests, please do leave us a comment wherever you are listening to this podcast, and I will definitely address them. Your support means the world and helps us reach more women with this transformative work. And if you're ready to experience even more feminine magic, I invite you to explore the Feel membership. Head to feelup.co/membership or find the link in this podcast description to learn more and claim your spot. Until the next time, keep shining your light, keep embracing your unique journey, and keep rising into the powerful human you were born to be. I'm your host, Maria Grinina.